This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Think college costs a lot now? Wait till you hear about the future. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. First, who wants to buy the once great internet property, Yahoo? The deadline for preliminary bids has now passed. Marketplace's Andy Euler is watching this.
So after rumors that AT&T, Comcast, and Alphabet, the parent company of Google, were looking to buy Yahoo, now it looks like there are just a couple of frontrunners. Wireless provider Verizon, who bought another company from the internet days of yore, AOL, last year. And then some are talking about YP Holdings. That's the company that owns Yellow Pages, that they might get in on the mix. Some are still skeptical about whether Yahoo will ultimately accept a bid at all, but it seems like what an acquiring company would be after isn't actually necessarily the company's advertising capacity in America. Yahoo's biggest assets are in foreign companies, Chinese e-commerce company Alibaba, and also Yahoo Japan, which some see as the main draw.
Andy, thank you. Let's do the numbers. It has been 9 months since I could put an 18 before this number. The Dow is at 18,004, give or take, this morning, after rising 0.6% yesterday. Some of this was oil prices stabilizing, at least for a moment yesterday. The Dow future is up 0.33% this morning. S&P future up 0.5%. NASDAQ future up 0.75%. President Obama is headed to Saudi Arabia for a meeting tomorrow with that country's leader, King Salman. The following day, he'll meet with other heads of state who belong to the Gulf Cooperation Council. Reporter Nova Safo has more.
President Obama's trip might prove challenging, says Robert Manning of the Atlantic Council.
President Obama, as far as the Saudis are concerned, has a lot of explaining to do.
That's thanks to an article in this month's Atlantic magazine in which the president is quoted as saying, "It's complicated," when asked if the Saudis are America's friends.
There's a lot of concern that the U.S. is on its way out of the Middle East, that it's not viewed in terms of our national security priorities as it once was.
Still, the U.S. is expected to offer Gulf states additional ballistic missile defenses and to help Saudi Arabia's cyber defense efforts. The Saudis fear attacks from Iran. But the president wants the Saudis to put more focus elsewhere, says Stephen Cook of the Council on Foreign Relations.
The agenda is going to focus mostly on the fight against the Islamic State.
Cook says oil prices will also come up.
President Obama thinks that oil prices are too low, and an argument can be made that they're affecting the stability of other major oil producers.
And hurting oil companies here in the U.S. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Women cost their companies less if and when they are underpaid compared to men. And there's a new study in the Harvard Business Review. Women save their companies money on business travel. Why? The big data analysis shows women book their flights 2 days earlier than men on average, regardless of age. 20-somethings through 70-somethings, women plan earlier on the tickets. Now more from our election year series about ways for the U.S. to get serious about long-term opportunities and threats, the ones that don't fit into a single budget year or election cycle. The late writer and social critic Kurt Vonnegut offered this idea during an interview I once did with him late in his life. Should the next president appoint a secretary of the future to consider how today's actions might play out in 20 or 50 years? This campaign season, we're taking suggestions about what a secretary of the future might keep an eye on. Take higher education, where a decade from now, the sticker price of a 4-year college degree could reach more than $300,000. From the Marketplace Education Desk at WYPR, Amy Scott reports on how technology plays into this.
Imagine it's 2026, and you're one of a billion people using a new digital platform called The Ledger.
Your Ledger account tracks everything you've ever learned in units, called EduBlocks.
This video from the Institute for the Future in Palo Alto envisions a system that rewards any kind of learning, from taking a course to reading a book to completing a project at work.
Each EduBlock represents 1 hour of learning in a particular subject. Anyone can grant EduBlocks to anyone else.
The Ledger would use the same technology that powers Bitcoin, the virtual currency, to create a verifiable record of every learning transaction.
Employers can use this information to offer you a job or a gig that matches your skills.
Jane McGonigal is the Institute for the Future's Director of Game Research and Development. She says a new education currency could supplement or offer an alternative to the four-year college degree, one that's suited to a rapidly changing economy.
It's very expensive to get degrees. By the time you finish it, what employers want you to know has changed. And so learners today are looking for a way to learn just in time for the job they want.
Alternative credentials exist now. Digital badges awarded by industry groups, certificates of mastery for open online courses, and credit for prior learning. Richard Garrett with research firm EduVentures says the challenge for students and employers will be figuring out what these new credentials are really worth.
If anyone can claim to have learned something, who judges the quality of learning, not just the quantity of learning? That's when it gets really tricky.
Garrett is confident the college degree will remain the standard. But technology could also make that credential more meaningful, says Mary Alice McCarthy with the New America Foundation.
A bachelor's degree, rather than being a piece of paper, might now be a link that shows what all the courses that the student took, might show some of the student's work, and that also might be searchable.
So an employer could find out not only if you passed virtual reality 101, but did you master a certain programming language or work well in teams?
It opens up the space wonderfully for people to be able to move through our economy based on what they know and can do and their ability to communicate that.
And for people who don't want or can't afford a college degree, it could offer a cheaper way to build their own higher education, one credential or EduBlock at a time. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
So if the next president were to appoint a cabinet member to worry about future generations, what would be job one? Tell us your priority at marketplace.org/secretary of the future. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Beatty Jong. Our engineer this week is Jeff Peters. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.